a picture of something. And they will want to put a frame around it, and then they need to figure out where they're going to put it. I got a picture from a calendar of all things several years ago. And some of y'all have seen it on, I've had it up here a few times. But it's a picture of a boat, and it shows what is intended to be Jesus. It's not Jesus, but the back of him. And it shows a couple of guys in the boat, and they're catching a large catfish, which represents what happened in Luke chapter 5. And I got that calendar. I mean, you know, you got pictures on a calendar. And I asked my wife, I said, man, I really like that frame. And she got me a nice frame. It was really nice. And I put it in my study, and I put it where if I walked in there, I could see it. I said, you know, that's pretty good. But when I was studying, I couldn't see it because it was behind. And I sat there one day, I was like, you know what? And like I said, it's just a pretty picture to me. It's nice. And I got to thinking, I said, if there's something I'd like to look at, it would be something like that. Well, finally, this winter stuff up there, I got two shells. I'm not going to do that. I took a picture down, took a couple other things down. Oh, we got that picture. It doesn't physically really fit that well, but I put it right in front of me. Because I wanted a picture of what my Savior wanted me to be. He wants me to be a picture of me. And as I was studying and preparing this week, I get this picture that, and this thought even in my heart, in my mind, that maybe we don't have a picture of heaven in our mind, in our heart, that would excite us about serving and getting to the end. Bought you a new car lately? Anybody bought a new car lately? We mentioned, who bought a new vehicle in the last 50 years? You go to that dealership and that guy, you open it up and man, you got that new car smell, you open up the hood, it's got clean, I mean, everything, and you're finding out things about that vehicle. Can you all just imagine with me for just a moment what's going to be like when you first get that? I mean, the creator that created that little baby. I talked about my experience when I held it with my hands. That changed me. It does something for me that I can even put on paper. I seen that little miracle that God made, but I got to think of it. I got a responsibility. But think about it, folks. When the title of my message this morning is When the Battle's Over. Hey, you hear your pastor come almost every week and try to encourage you to read your Bible and to pray and to seek his will. And I'm not going to stop doing that. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible's going to be over one of these days, and glory is going to be there all in front of us. It's going to be there 24/7. It's going to be better than any beach vacation. It's going to be better than anything that you can ever experience here on this world and in your life, I promise you. But we expend so much energy in so many other things other than trying to get a picture of what is before us. If you're here and you're born again, you're saved, born again, I think we should read this every now and then with a lot more anticipation. Any of y'all, it's like Christmas. Yeah, I already see a smile. I see adults doing that. I don't remember who it was. It was a boy that had his daughter, son, had a birthday. And he was a little kid when I was already an adult. I remember he had a birthday. And, you know, I said, Dad, if you're older, I'd say your birthday is over tonight. I was like, your birthday is becoming, when are we going to get Dad or Mom? I was like, you need to figure that out. So there's that. I'm here to tell you that there's not a Christmas day that you've ever anticipated can be better than the day that you want today. I don't know know that? Because everything that says here is true. The writer, John, the revelator, the apostle, says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. When it snows, and you wake up in the morning and nobody's drinking on the snow, you have pretty moves. But as soon as the people start driving through there, splash it out, put a little salt on there, and start piling up and messing it all up, don't you? This is going to be brand new. It's not talking about where God's living now. There's three heavens. There's a heaven that you see with the blue sky. There's a heaven and an atmosphere up there where the stars and stuff are at. And then there's a heaven where God lives. Paul said he went to the third heaven, okay? I just want you to know. There's going to be a new earth and a new sky, a new horizon. He said there was no more sea. But he tells us later on there's a fountain of living water. He tells us there in verse number 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know, God still has a place, folks, for his people, the Jewish people. Jerusalem is still the city, David's city. It's still special. I know it's called Mount Zion, and I'm not getting into all that stuff tonight, but it says, and this is not the bride of Christ, I don't think, because it said it's preparing as a bride, adorned for her husband. See, we're the bride of Christ. And hopefully through the study of the Word of God and the application of the Word of God and God's will, he's preparing us for that day that he presents us before his heavenly Father. Nothing on the track. We're supposed to be improving, getting better, so that when Jesus presents us before his heavenly Father, present a chaste, like a chaste virgin in the book of Ephesians. So the first thing I want you to know this morning, this is a prepared place. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I only have 10 bullets this morning, so I'm going to go quick, okay? He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know. And the way, you know. All the way through the scriptures, God is wanting to get the relationship and the communion back with mankind. In chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 7, it says that God formed man from the dust of the earth and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. But in chapter 3, we see the devil come along and he deceived Eve and man fell into sin. And God has proven through the scriptures from Genesis 3:15, Genesis 12, and all throughout the Old Testament, all the way to the New Testament, when Jesus came, he proved he wanted to have communion with them. And the best way I can prove that to you, and it goes really right on with this morning, is in Exodus chapter 25, God had already put forth the law, he had already revealed where man comes short of his glory. You know, Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? And then in Exodus chapter 25, God says in verse 8, he says, I want to meet with you. I want to have a plan for a meeting. And many had already been revealing to Moses how he's going to build the tabernacle. There's one place that God wanted to meet with us, and that was the Ark of the Covenant. And then he was going to have him build a mercy seat. And that mercy seat would fit on top of the Ark of the Covenant, which shows the manna. Doesn't show it, but it had the manna in it and the Ten Commandments and Aaron's rod. And that that mercy seat went on top of it, and then the high priest would go in once a year and apply the blood to it. But when Jesus died, buried, rose again on the third day, he went to heaven and applied the blood to the mercy seat that was in heaven. So we have an eternal communion. We have an eternal anointing of blood. So that way, when mankind looks to faith, Jesus Christ can be saved. It's always been God's plan. 2 Peter tells us that God's not what? Willing that any should what? Perish. But what? So you know the verses. But see, in heaven, the battle's over. All those thoughts that have run you crazy, all those times that you struggled trying to find God's will, those times that you have maybe you suffered doing God's will, the burdens that He's laid upon you, they're all going to be gone because this is a prepared place by God. It also tells us here in verse number 3, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now, how many of y'all have ever had a sweet time of prayer and you just felt like God was right there? Well, some of y'all have it. It didn't even get good. And it doesn't have to matter. It doesn't really matter where you're at, but you know it's going to be one day. That it's just going to be just like God is right here with us. And how do you know that? See, when our son was in California, he was there for 3 or 4 years, he had difficulties traveling. And he went for a time and we couldn't get there. We could FaceTime him. We could get on our phone and there he is. Was that as good as when he pulled in the driveway and got out of that car? What? You can make your own application, but you know what? We pray to God that's invisible to us. He's a spirit. We pray and trust Jesus Christ, a man that was God. He was fully man, fully God, and he lived over 2,000 years ago, but I've never seen him. But I put my faith and trust in what he's done, right? For salvation, for eternity in heaven. One of these days, I'm going to get stand, sit, bow, fall, I don't know what, before Jesus. Before God. See, when you that's going to be the most intimate thing you've ever experienced. See, there's going to be no more church. No more Bible study. No more prayer services. No more leadership of the Holy Spirit. Why? You're going to be in the presence of God. Hey, when the battle is over, that's what I'm trying to tell you. When this battle for struggling with the relationship is going to be over, because what? Those that are truly saved really be in the presence of God 24/7. There's not going to be a moment that you're going to be gone. So if you're having a hard time enjoying church, you need to check your salvation. You really have a hard time reading the Bible and you say, I don't like it, you're not going to check your salvation. You really have a hard time praying for God's will, you're not going to check your salvation. You say, why? The devil is going to do all this and it's going to be on steroids. It's going to be over the top. It's going to be much more than this. And you know what? You're even going to have to preach to me. I'd rather hear Jesus preach to me, preach any day of the week. I'm serious. Now, for sure, you just don't feel that. Hey, if you don't want to hear Jesus over me, there's something wrong there, too. Jesus is the master. You talk about that master teacher. He's the guy who is. I think that our messaging will be done. It'd be just like me and Ibelis. They preach for 2 hours, and they'd be sitting there going, oh, give some more. Sorry, that's right now. You're late, people know homosexual. Maternity votes. For Amber, the battle's over. With total peace done. When I meet in heaven, I know that it goes on to say there in verse number 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. My third point is no more. I know on 94.5 they got that guy to sing that song on 48 back in. You got an 18 all this stuff. I don't have all this written there. But I ain't going to wake up in the morning and go back. I'm not going to do something and I'm going to go, ah. And you younger people, hang in there, that's coming, okay? But I don't see a whole lot of younger people. But y'all probably already got, how many of y'all have ever had a headache? Yeah. You know what? In heaven, all there's not going to be? No more headaches! My wife comes home from work and man, she's, I try to be the good husband when I'm there. But I try to let her talk, you know. She's like, another day at work. I was like, did you have to do that? No. Hey, my brain's going to explode. You know, something, I mean, she's cheap. And you know, you let the pressure valve off, you just let some of that out, and you go, okay, I got to go on. And then she's good. You know, that's not going to be anything else. Despicable Me people, my little grandson got ready to sing that song. I'm having a bad day. I'm having a really bad day. There's not going to be any bad days. Nurses, they won't come here. Y'all want to know something else? Y'all don't think that guy Jerry won't be before my ass either. I thought for a deal with the pandemic, and I mentioned those two things, I thought I'd get a shout out to Amen. But I guess they're not really disappointed in COVID. They kind of like COVID. Be no more funerals. Be no more cancer. Be no more car accidents. Be no more loss of loved ones. It'll be a great reunion. Did you hear that? It'll be a great reunion in heaven. He said, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. But all the things actually go. When the battle's over, God's going to have everything that's going to be great. Be no more evil. I got damn near no more backaches, heartaches, no more bad news, no more spilled milk. No more old car smell. I got an older car. I got an older car smell. Get in there and get that smell. They got steak, but it is like, but God says, I'm going to wipe away your tears. You know what? That's my favorite part. Because if you look up in the end of chapter 20, I don't want to go there yet. There's a great judgment coming for those that are lost. And I believe that God's people, we're going to stand there and awe. I think we're going to be cheerful in a terrible way about the lost people that are going to pass this way. You've heard me say it before. I believe that those tears come from those people that God wanted us to witness to, and those that also that we witness to that chose not to choose Jesus Christ. There's going to be some, and I talked to one this week, that just doesn't understand why God does what he does. And he had some valid questions. There's going to be some that reject Jesus Christ, who will reject the grace and the mercy of God. And God is going to cast them into the lake of fire. And I believe that at that point, that's when verse 1 came to bring it in there with John's going to say, and I see a new heaven and earth. And that's why I can say here that God shall wipe away tears from your eyes. If you've ever encountered somebody that's hurting and they're crying because of whatever pain or hurt, you can go up and instantly take the tears away from them. That would be the greatest thing. See, God in His Word says He'll give us here a peace that passes what? All understanding. Think with me, folks, what kind of peace you're going to return. You don't have to worry about any coming troubles because everything's passed away. Everything's gone away with. Everything's done with. Look at verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne being said, behold, I make all things new. Right, and these words are true and faithful. I got simple part of you. Jesus, in verse number 6, puts forth the last, not the last, but one of the final invitations. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of baptism of the fountain of water of life free. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I want to remind us of something else. There's an eternal eternity to come. We've already talked about that. But there's been like a refrigerator verse that you have held on to all of your life. It's all going to be fulfilled by the time we get here. Y'all know what my favorite verse is. It's chapter 5 in Revelation, verse 5, where it says, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. See, there won't be any Revelation 21 unless there is a worthy person to open up that sealed book and unlock it. One of these days, that time's coming. That time is in Revelation chapter 21. Every scripture fulfilled, every promise fulfilled, everything is completed, and God still. Listen to me, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, don't know what you're saying, God still invites you. Partake in the water of life free. See, salvation is free. And Jesus wants to offer it to everybody. Even in the midst of this great proclamation of the end times, when everything, as I had said, when the battle was over, I want you to look with me here in verse number 8. We're done. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You say, boy, that sounds like a really bad book. Well, I think if we look at the first two words of interest, maybe we'll reconsider that just a little bit. And I hope that anybody here this morning got somebody lost in their life. Well, listen, if you're here this morning and you're lost in hell, or you're not sure about your salvation, I want you to pay close attention to the fearful, the word fearful. That word fearful means faithless, unbelieving. As open as heaven is to all people, there's going to be a group that's not going to be there. And a group this morning, that's here this morning, I would say there's probably some people that think they're going to heaven that may not be going. Based on scripture, not based on anything I know, but I told you, I don't know anybody's heart here. But I talk to people from time to time individually, and when you get right down and you ask somebody this very question, where did they get your last heart beat right now? And most people know in their heart what that answer is. You know why? Because God gives a peace that passes all understanding, or He can give a conviction that will draw. Jesus said, no man comes unto the Father except He draw him. We've heard of people giving false professions. We've heard of people, and you've heard my testimony. I went to church. Again, I was one of them drunk. Maybe I was drunk at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. One day, Jesus became real to me. I didn't ask Him to become real, but the Holy Spirit made Him real. And I'm glad I came that day. But it says also, not only the fearful, but the unbelieving. That word unbelieving is without trust. You're here today, you're not trusting in anybody. You're not going to be in this bunch, it's going to be in heaven. Listen to you say amen.
Amen.
I mean, if you're going to heaven, you're going to be trusting in the one who paid your sin debt, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. And only because of that. See, Jesus' death paid the payment. His burial settled the payment. His resurrection gave the victory. I ask you this morning, do you have that victory? Have you put your faith and trust in, or are you believing? Do you have a loved one that you feel like may not get to spend eternity with? This would be a good time to come pray for you. Let's all stand for the word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. Lord, as wonderful as heaven is, and it is wonderful. I can't explain all of it. I don't even know all of that. Jesus has been preparing for over 2,000 years. As good as that is, I know there's probably people here in this auditorium this morning that don't have that destination settled. When the battle's over, they may be the 13th or the 5th. But I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I do want them to know that Jesus loved them so much that He died for them. He wants to save them. Pray God to speak to hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.